Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk about art in the area today, and two good friends, Bill Harris and Gabe Ponce, in this morning to talk. Good morning, you guys.
Hey,
good to have you here.
Hey, good morning.
This has been fascinating because for about the last 10 minutes, Gabe, you're working on at JM, a huge mural.
And yeah.
You've encountered some issues, and you and Bill have sat here and talked way over my head about how to problem solve. And Bill, you were just saying that kind of describes art in a way.
It does. You know, if it's a 6-inch painting or a 20-foot mural, a lot of the problems are the same, and that's the exciting part of art, is solving those problems. And for as long as we've been doing it, new problems always come up that you're like, wow, I never had that happen before. And especially with a mural like what Gabe's working on, the walls are different, there's always windows and pipes and things you got to work around, and just getting to the site or where you can put scaffolding or ladders. But that's the fun part of art for me, is the problem solving nature of it.
Yeah, the planning, you know, it's funny, over the years, I used to, I'm saying it like I'm defeated now in the morning, but I enjoy the planning part of it, like drawing it up on the computer or having a printout, and like I even have on the computer, I have to scale like me as a person and like the scaffold, and like, oh, okay, I'll be able to reach that height and things like that. But yeah, it comes down to like, how can I get that line to be exactly as I sketched it up months and months ago? And then you're like, well, like, I can't reach it from here, or I can reach it, but I don't have the right geometry. One thing leads to another, and yeah, it comes back to problem solving.
Like when you're in the computer or in sketching it, that's the art part. That's the
That's the fun.
That's the creative part. The actual thing, getting out there and standing on scaffolding, is the not fun part.
You know,
that's
yeah.
the actual work of it. And they're two separate things. They're not the same thing at all. The creative part is the fun part.
Right.
You know, most of my murals don't go over 18 feet. You know why? Two layers of scaffolding, which will be, they're 5 feet layers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So 10 foot would be the second layer. I know I can reach up, I'm 6'2", I can reach up 8 feet. So I don't want a mural over 18 feet.
Right. Yeah. Know. Yeah.
If it's over that, you. I'm the wrong guy.
Yeah.
But that's how I figure out.
Yeah. It's funny. Actually, I'm wrapping up a mural at Conway Elementary, which is part of the Stafford Museum grant initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny. It's 8-foot walls, standard, you know, institutional education hallway. But the trick is using a projector. The hallway is only 8 feet wide, which means I can't get my minimum 10 feet away from it to shoot the image. And I was like, oh God, I should have known this. Like, you know, I should have known this months ago. So I had to come up with a different way of grafting the image on the walls for those two hallways. And I mean, it was pretty straightforward. I printed out big paper, full-size sheets, and then used carbon paper to like transfer.
Yeah, that's really old school.
Totally old school. But then I was like, oh, should I make stencils? I'm like, you're overthinking it. It just tape up some oversized carbon paper, and it did. It takes longer, but you know, for me, it's like you gotta, if you skip steps in that very beginning, and as you're painting, you're trying to compensate that.
I'll tell you a funny, real quick story. I was painting a mural about 20 years ago, and it had a lot of straight lines in it, and I was ignoring it. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I was going to do it. I was painting other parts of the mural. Like often, a guy was standing there watching me, and he goes, I love how you guys use tape to do the straight lines. I'm like, oh, yeah, tape. Like, you know, yeah. until today, in my class, we use tape all the time. But
yeah.
Luckily, it was just dumb luck. This guy came by and said, oh, yeah, it's really cool how you use masking tape to make straight lines. I'm like, oh, yeah,
right.
Exactly.
That's how I can do it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Well, Do you, Gabe? I know I've been with you different times when, and you use a lot of students with a lot of with some of these projects, and I've always thought it's interesting sometimes when you're running low on paint and you don't want to get more, and so you've said, you know, we can't be wasting paint here, or just different things. I mean, just things you don't think of all the time.
In fact, there's like a coefficient of waste that comes between, if you do it a painting or a mural on your own, or if you have others help you, because the coefficient being like, usually it's like, I'm doing it by myself. This is how much I'll need, you know, X amount of quarts or gallons. If you have groups helping you, you're going to need X amount more just because you're pouring it into other containers. Heaven forbid someone spills a cup or something like that. In fact, yesterday at the end of the day, with our blue number 16, I was like, guys, take all your cups. Let's just try. And it was hot, right? So a lot of the paint dried just because it was 90 degrees. It's like, we're going to be stretching it thin here. So let's just. But that's one thing I've been trying to communicate to all the volunteers is like, this is special paint. It's you know, we don't have a lot, even though it looks like we have a lot of it, sometimes a little bit doesn't go a long way. We just got to be conservative altogether. So, yeah.
It's interesting how a mural, like the mural you're doing at JM right now, and you've done it at different schools, just really does change, especially a school.
Yeah, I think a school's interesting. The elementary school is where, like, all the kids kind of cheer you on as you're doing it. High school kids are a little bit more, you know, reserved, but the space alone hopefully will be changed, you know, forever for the better. And there's been a handful of people that have come into the shop and said, I teach at, you know, at this school, and I saw what you did, or I see you working now. So, and that's really kind of gratifying to know that you're reaching an audience that you typically wouldn't. If your work was solely in, for instance, our shop or something like that. So,
and you and Sophia have done
And this is the most, even though it's not the absolute by square footage, the biggest one. Lafayette was the by square footage, the largest one. This is the most ambitious because it's so the contour. It's kind of a silhouette, like a contoured shape. That was the thing. And once again, because of the reachability, the height of it, is a bit of a curveball right now.
How long will that take you to finish the JM one?
Hopefully sooner than later. I'm only there on like Mondays and Fridays. Until I get a better kind of window of time. Ambitiously, I want to be close by graduation, which is middle of May. I at least want to have all the lines up and have it kind of masked out. The bottom 8 or 10 feet, that's more or less resolved. It's just that top, you know, that top 10 feet.
Need to take a quick break. Gabe Ponds and Bill Harris here this morning. When we come back, Bill's going to be working again on the Johnny Johnson mural on Sophia Street. And we'll get into all of that and much more this morning with Bill Harris and Gabe Ponds. Bill with Liberty Town and Gabe Ponds with Pawn Shop Studio and Gallery on Caroline Street. More on News Talk 1230 WF.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Bill Harrison, Gabe Ponds here this morning as we talk about art in the area. And speaking of murals, the interesting story about the Johnny Johnson mural, that will be redone soon, and really it was a problem. I mean, you did the original, and we'll do it again, Bill, but it was the building turned out to be the problem.
Yeah, unlike what a lot of people think, I didn't ruin it. It wasn't my fault. So I think they, what do they call it, Gabe, a corrupt wall? It
was,
it's a cinder block wall, and they absorb a lot of moisture, and you can see that it was taking the paint all the way down to the bare cinder block, years and years of paint off of it. It was just bad timing, I suppose, on our part, so... Originally, I'd done it in 2018, so it's only 6 years, but it was disintegrating fast. And there would have been no point of touching it up because it would have just fallen off.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, Gabe is part of a group called the Rap Arts Group, Rappahannock Arts Group, and they've put together some funds and they got a lot of donations and put up a structure in front of it now, which is off, I guess, a few inches. And it's, I think it's aluminum, right?
Yeah, it's some kind of...
like signboard,
yeah, guess. It's a metal panel that's used for high-end
so
signs.
So that won't happen. And pretty soon, and maybe the next couple of weeks, I'll start on the painting part of it. But I think they're pretty much done with what they needed to do. And they looked at maybe putting it in another area, but they really wanted it there. It was really close to Johnny's Church, which is right down the a couple hundred yards away. So they really were set on that wall, and that seemed like the best idea. So,
and it's a good spot, too.
Great spot.
Yeah. A lot of people go by there.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you come over that bridge and you look to the left, you can see it right away.
Right. Isn't there, there's like a walking path
that's
the heritage?
The Freedom Path?
Freedom Path?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, that's to keep it there.
Yeah. The Civil Rights Trail, I think.
Is
yeah,
right. Yeah, it's a primary.
I think they might even put something there. Like
a marker?
Yeah, a marker or something to commemorate him. So, yeah. That should last for years. And for me, a lot of the damage done to murals is the sun. And if I look at the Sammy Tees mural I did, it gets sun all day long.
Yeah,
it looks pretty rough. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Johnny Johnson mural is in shade most of the day, so that should last forever.
Yeah, it should.
Matter of fact, the one I did over on Route 1, the Access Eye Center, is over 24 years old, and it's almost in shade most of the day. That's kind of why it lasted so long.
Yeah, that hasn't had the...
Right.
So, yeah, I never... Yeah, the
sun is worse than... You would think the rain and all that, but it's really the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So Gabe, the Rap Arts, it was a beloved mural, and it was Johnny Johnson, and so it's good that somebody stepped forward and was able to do this.
Right. And in fact, they have... incidentally, it's close to call, but incidentally, there's a fundraising dinner tonight down at Brock's, which is for the Johnny Johnson.
Yeah, okay.
To commemorate Johnny. That's kind of, once again, an initiative to have funds to do projects like this. And of course, honor Johnny. I mean, you know, when we first moved here, I guess we moved here in 2005. I met Johnny through Art First Gallery, and he was definitely one of the, I guess you could say he was immediately like a mentor and kind of saw that I was kind of a young gun and took me under his wing for sure. He would always ask, how's that little boy, back when Diego was first, how's that little boy yours doing? And he was, you know, really, really kind and was a great, you know, organizer and leader at, like, in his affiliation with Art First, month to month, that was really so. Is a really I think a great way to commemorate his kind of his legacy that he's had. He's done so much, of course, in Fredericksburg.
And I know for you, Bill, it was such an honor.
Yeah, it was an honor to do the mural, and I had very similar experience to as Gabe did of meeting him when I first moved here in the late '90s, and he was so generous with his time and. I was always amazed that he cared, you know, like he remembered my name and he seemed more interested in my art than talking about his own. So yeah, good guy. And it was really a special day when we unveiled that mural and he was there and hundreds of people were there and his family. But yeah, good dude, real great guy.
It was a Freelance Star photo that you did.
I don't remember.
You made some changes to make it all work.
Make it simple and easier. But yeah, the Freelance Star allowed us to do that. They didn't have to do that. It was interesting. So the Sale family allowed us to paint on that wall. People donated scaffolding, and it's been like that this time around too, where everybody's donating something. You know, it's a really the whole really community coming together to make it happen. It's not just one person. It was a whole lot of people.
Well, and I know, I mean, it really started to break down soon after.
Yeah.
It was done. So, I mean, this has been talked about because you and I had talked and you'd said something's going
to
happen.
Yeah, and they spent a year or two trying to figure out what to do. And again, the first one was just repainting. It was just clear that was not the answer.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, it's the best possible scenario right now is what they did. And hopefully I'll do an okay job, and then it looks okay.
Matt, we're all hoping.
Yeah, we're
hoping.
We got our fingers crossed.
We're confident that this is a robust solution.
Yeah.
Altogether.
So, I guess murals this time of year, especially this one, I mean, is kind of weather, you know.
Yeah, it's a little bit. And, you know, there's different types of paints. And matter of fact, even the Johnny Johnson mural, I used three different types when I did that one. And one of the types I needed to be 55 overnight. More of the blending stuff, like that would look like an oil painting. It's called an alkyd paint. But I use similar paints that Gabe uses as well, the latex enamels and even the oil-based enamels. So anyway, yeah, you're right. Weather is dependent on what we can do. And sometimes you just can't do it. It'll rain or be too hot.
It's a very the actual execution of murals is very it's almost like a sports day, right? You're checking the weather.
Yeah.
It's going to be hot. Guys, bring water, all those things. Or it could be those kind of like a baseball game. It's like, oh, it's going to be beautiful all day. We get there. It's blazing hot. You finally get going. Storm clouds start to roll in, and you have to pack up and leave. It's like,
yeah.
So you kind of get iced some days.
And you're often putting on a show. There's always people watching. You know, when I did that, the Access Ice Center on Route 1, there's just traffic backed up there.
Oh, yeah.
The whole time.
Oh, always, yeah.
And so you just hear all day long. Hey, what are you doing? Who are they? You're doing a better job than the first guy did. And I was the first guy. You know, that's rough.
It's good. It's so good. I told Scarlett the other day, I was like, I wonder if I could get paid more, almost like how a musician gets a royalty. If I could get paid more, how many times people shout out like, you missed a spot,
it's rough.
But it's good. To that point, like, for instance, at Conway Elementary right now, the kids, when they go by, it's this, you feel this kind of tension because the teacher's like, stay in line, stay on the left side, shh, everyone be quiet. And then you just hear the kids like, you're doing a good job. They can't hold back. You're doing a good job. You're a good artist. I'm like, oh, thank you. And I'm like whispering, thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. Keep walking. It's good. But yeah, the it's really endearing to see how the children respond to art being made in their, basically in their backyard, in their schools, and how excited they are. And there's a young man. I think is a fourth grader, and he was kind of pressing me on the design. He's like, "Are you gonna paint those silhouettes a color?" I'm like, actually, no, they're cut out. They're a negative space. It's going to be cut out. So it'll be a negative space. So they represent that those people could be anybody. And he's like, yeah. So are you going to paint like color? So now, and I looked at it more. I'm like, he's kind of right. Like the white doesn't contrast against the background. And can't really see the silhouettes as good as I thought you would in the rendering. So dang it. I think, okay, I'll look at the palette again and see. But I'm not rendering them. They're just going to stay silhouettes, but they might turn a color. So shout out to Adrian out there for pressing.
What a great story. I've seen with you, but when as you're doing murals, I guess it's sometimes I've seen you make changes. If little changes where something doesn't look quite right.
So it's funny, when I did the Sammy Tees mural, Xavier Richardson is sitting in a chair. And I realized the chair was floating in midair. Like, it was a mistake on my part. Like, it just didn't work. So I couldn't figure out what to do. So I put a dog in front of it. And it turned out that's the most favorite part of it. I see everybody like, I love that dog.
Actually,
I love the dog.
I saw people taking senior pictures.
In front of the dog.
In front of the dog. Yeah.
That turned out to be, everybody comments on the dog. And the whole reason the dog was there, because I messed up. I made a mistake. And I was hiding a mistake. Yeah. But that turned out to be the favorite part of the mural. So, yeah, you try. You hope that doesn't happen. You'd hope, like what Gabe said, when you're at home sketching it on the computer, you solve all those problems. But things happen, that you can't anticipate.
Right. Oh, that's funny. And also, I think this is part of the artist's kind of neuroses, is that it doesn't have to, not that it doesn't have to be perfect, but it doesn't have to obey the laws of gravity. Like, for instance, the artist, it's like that doesn't, obviously it doesn't make sense. It's kind of like having typos in a piece of writing. It's like, you get the point.
Well, there's things in art, like one point and two point perspective. Even if you're not an artist, you're like, wow, there's something wrong there that doesn't look right. And you have to get those things right. And remember when you were with me at the Bowman Center, we did that big flag.
Mm-hmm.
Up close, because we were up on that scale, that it looks awful, right? Looks good from like 80 feet away.
It does. You looked at it because of the stripes were they were kind of wavy.
Yep.
But you don't see
Oh, yeah. Is that on a corrugated?
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw that.
But it's a pretty thick corrugation.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, because the sun catches it from one angle, one side of it looks terrible. The other side looks okay.
Oh, like when you move.
Because the sun rises to the right, and it's all that is peeling pretty bad, but it still looks okay from a distance.
Yeah, it looks great rendered. I remember pulling, and it's like, but it, and especially corrugated, that does like this weird optical illusion.
Now, I remember you saying to me, because I looked at it and I said, and I asked you that, and you said, trust me, when you stand back, you can't tell.
And that's a tricky thing about murals too. When you're up on scaffolding, you almost have to get down sometimes and walk away and look at it from a distance. Yeah.
Well, in that case, the flag one, you were really high.
That was
I remember
that was on a lift. I want to say that was like 40, 50 feet up there.
Oh man,
that was made me nervous. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to get used to that, because like the first couple of days, I would just inch up a little bit at a time. But by the end, I felt comfortable. But I don't know that I could do it now.
You get kind of on the lift too. You get this like it's like you're on a boat. Because the wind.
And yeah.
So then when you get down from the lift, you feel like you were on a boat for the afternoon or something like that. You kind of, your legs are a little wobbly.
Do you drive by your murals afterwards and pick out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
think I should have done that. Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah, I did the one at the community gardens, what's downtown Greens.
Yeah.
And that had this type of scaffolding that would raise up and down. And every day I drive by it, I'm like, why didn't I put little leaves at the bottom of it? But I remember I couldn't because the scaffolding was there. It would have had to remove the scaffolding. Wow. But every day I see that, I'm like, God, darn it. Like, I really botched that one. Yeah, that happens, yeah. Actually, I would say all of them. There's a mistake in every one of them. It just eats at me.
Yeah. So the Johnny Johnson mural will... Sometime in May, you're thinking, or June?
Yeah, I know they want to get it done. And I think Johnny Johnson Day is June 7th, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so beginning of the summer.
I think the idea is to try to get it done by then. So I think probably mid to end of May I should be. And I don't think it'll take too long. I think it'll maybe about 10 days.
Well, it'll be easier because it's not brick that you're going to be doing that.
Yeah.
It's like almost a canvas.
Yeah, a very slick surface. And that's one of the things that you have to get used to right away is every surface is different, whether it be brick or cinder block or wood or corrugation. In this case, I've never painted on this surface, but it should be great because it's nice and smooth.
Yeah. another miscalculation on my part, the JM, the bottom maybe 6 or 8 feet is that rough hewn stone block. And it's very contoured, and it's fine to fill, like to do one color and like, but I have some lines on it, some fish scales and things. And it was a struggle, like just digging into that. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize. And you're not able to achieve a detail like you think you are because the contours are throwing everything off. So it's classic. It's only going to take you 10 days? Just 10 working days?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I think. I thought that what it had taken before. I'll have help as well. Like
doing
the fill-in stuff. And my students, too.
Yeah.
So, that's what I think.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because a lot of it was pretty big, just fill-in stuff. The face...
Yeah, the face is rendered, right?
And you also wore a plaid shirt, which was a nightmare. Like, why couldn't you wear a shirt like that, like a plain shirt?
Right.
It would have been half the time. I could have done it in 9 days.
Bill Harris here, Gabe Ponce here this morning. We are talking art in the area. More coming up on Newstalk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is Newstalk 1230 WFVA, Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking art this morning. Bill Harris and Gabe Ponce. Bill at Liberty Town, Gabe downtown on Caroline Street, Pawn Shop Studio. and gallery. Gabe, this is a big May is a huge month for art, and in fact,
yeah.
Scarlett, your wife, is in tomorrow to talk about some of those things.
Yeah, in fact, yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things. May is obviously one of the best months for like the art galleries and First Fridays downtown. It looks beautiful. We finally have daylight well into the evening, it seems like every May is just a lot. All the galleries seem to put their best feet. For this month is both Scarlett and Ellen Schaefer, one of our painters, is going to do a double header, a two woman show with Scarlett with some hung ceramic pieces and Ellen with work on canvas. In fact, she's delivering it. We're all meeting at the shop this morning to go forward with installation and everything. Oh, okay. So it's exciting. Yeah, May's great. It's technically, I guess, it's the anniversary of the shop. Our first real First Friday was in May back in 2010. So that's cool. Yeah. We're not making a big thing of it this year, but we'll be sure to do something. But
yeah,
it always kind of comes around the year and like, hey, we made it. we made another year.
So there's... Keep your eyes peeled. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's not a better day than First Fridays in Fredericksburg. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the arts, it's the restaurants. You always have some bands playing. And May is definitely where the weather is perfect to be coming downtown. So those who've never done it need to do it. It's really free. It's free entertainment. I mean, obviously, except for the restaurant part of it. But what a perfect night to be in Fredericksburg.
Well, and you can you've got the pawn shop and other places. When you stroll downtown, go over to Liberty Town, and you've got your choice of all kinds of different
things. Oh, sure. And there used to be, I think, 9 galleries. I don't know if that's the numbers correct, but there's a lot of places like some of the coffee shops do openings.
Yeah,
there's Art First, Brushstrokes, FCCA.
Artful Dimensions.
Right. So there's a lot. It's much more than pawn shop in Liberty Town, but it's a great. If you actually hit all of them, and a Freelance Star used to put out a walking map of all the galleries, if you hit all of them, you're getting also a great tour of Fredericksburg, mm-hmm. All the shops and all the different restaurants and things.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true. Between the free trolley that goes around for people that are visiting the city for the weekend or anything like that, it's a great way to see the entire city. We always, like Scarlett and I always try to promote First Fridays as like, don't just explore the galleries, explore the city. This is your opportunity that, the events will pull you into all the different spots around town. One other kind of pitch is that on Saturday we're doing a backyard spring fling at the shop, which means that we open up our backyard to a handful of artists, vendors, that will just do pop-up, like they'll have a table of their goods. And then we're also doing kind of a art cafe where you can come and watercolor a custom piece of artwork from 4 of our artists and have a cup of tea for the low, low price of $10. Mm-hmm. But it's that was something that Scarlett had this great idea of like, wouldn't it be great if when people come to visit, so many visitors say, I can't draw a stick figure, I can't do anything. This is like a very kind of turnkey way of like, well, I bet you can color by number and you can sit, have a cup of tea and, literally color, almost, there's no numbers on the sheets, but color by number, these watercolor pieces. So.
Well, we talked, Bill, a lot about how so many restaurants now have many of your students
art. I'm permanently in a Taperio and Bella Monza, and then I do shows at Sunken Well, Sammy T's Adventure, Red Dragon, and I like throwing this number out there because I think it says a lot about Fredericksburg. Last year my students sold 97 paintings for $32,000, and a lot of that was from out of the restaurants, and I think it says a lot about Fredericksburg. I don't think there's a lot of cities that have that, that have the ability or I don't know, maybe ability's not the word, that accept the arts and embrace the arts as much as the local restaurants here do. And it really benefits everybody. I think it benefits them. They're always getting new artwork on the walls. I know for my students, it's great, and it's exciting because they can actually see their work up somewhere, sell their work.
Yeah. Well, that, I would say, Bill, don't be humble now. Well, you have, Bill, I think through your classes especially, and through the years, like it's a leadership mentorship kind of thing, but you've been able to facilitate and keep the relationship with the restaurants. I think that's why Fredericksburg's kind of special in that respect, is we have kind of, you know, longstanding artists that have made relationships with business owners, so that it isn't like a one and done thing. Like, hey, an artist came into my restaurant, wants to put up art. It happened 2 months later. We, you know, the restaurant owner doesn't have the time or you know, the tools to get another artist. But having, you know, artists around town that, like you just mentioned, like annually, like the cycle of the year, you're able to schedule people in and out and organize.
You know, when I now schedule for Sammy T's, like I schedule the artwork for Sammy T's, we're booked all the way into 26.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and they're all different artists. Yeah. It's not, they're not, nobody repeating. That's just, there's a demand there too, you know, and now some of the restaurants and places aren't that far out, but a lot of them are. I think Sunken Well is as well. So,
And it's great for the restaurants. They get a whole new, of course, their interior is redecorated, but also in terms of clientele, you get a whole different kind of crop of different fans and family that come in.
You know,
in.
It's interesting. If you go to a restaurant, like, let's say Sammy T's or Sunken Well, and you just sit there and watch, you'll see a lot of this. You'll see people pointing, and it's a conversation starter, you know, like, oh, look at that. I really like that, or, oof, that's rough, man. You know. You see that. Pay attention next time you go to a place like that. You'll see it.
Yeah,
it's interesting. And I've seen my students be. I've been there with my students and other people commenting on their painting, and it's a big rush for them.
Oh, it'd have to be. Yeah. Well, and you're giving them something to shoot for. To you know.
Yeah, and you know the funny thing is, so when people take my oil, it's an oil painting class, and all the classes are like this. You can learn to paint, right? But there's a whole other world of, well, I got to learn how to frame it. I got to come up with a title, a price. I got to make sure that frame will hang on a wall, you know, do the proper things. And, you know, that's really cool because that's the full experience. It's not just learning to paint or render something. It's the whole, okay, well, I'm getting it out there. And
yeah, presentation.
Yeah.
Right? Well, presentation's that's a big thing. The very, very, very first time I showed work publicly was in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Actually, it might have been in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Ah. But it was an art co-op that had just had a flyer call for artists. And I picked one up and I was like, oh, I'll give this a shot, you know. And at the time, I was working in an architecture firm and I had, you know, money to spend on framing. So I was like, okay, my deadline, I'll finish some pieces on watercolor paper and get them framed. But it was that kind of process of like, oh God, I have to now pick out a frame color. Oh, what do I do? It's got to be wood, but what color? But long story short, yeah, the presentation and putting your work under glass for hopefully for good. That's another way. A lot of kind of artists have trouble finishing, and when you have a show, you got to finish. Like it's not done until it's hung up on the wall with the price tag on it or something like that. So yeah, that was another big step. Altogether. But yeah, that's a whole nother end.
Yeah, you know, years ago, I used to curate a show for students, younger people, and not to pick on them, but Mary Washington students had no idea about any of this stuff. A girl brought me a sheet of canvas that was wet. And you know, what are you going to do with that? Like, nothing.
It was right.
Just like she had no idea. So like, I think it's common that a lot of these universities don't teach all that stuff.
Right, you're teaching how to draw, right. But you're and not, there's a business side.
The business side is an important side of it. Now I have a bunch of students that are not interested in selling. That's not the only reason to do it. But yeah, that's a big part of it. And then also the little part of it is like what sells. And like, I tell a lot of people, don't do that. Like, don't get into the business. I'm only gonna paint something that I think will sell. That's difficult.
Yeah,
there are things Fredericksburg likes. Fredericksburg, like that, a lot of things my students sell are local scenes, but I wouldn't get in the business of just doing things because you think they're going to sell.
Yeah, that's actually the reverse. What is it? Reverse. You if you aim too hard to make, oh, this is going to be, oh, people are going to really dig, then all of a sudden you're not fulfilling, like,
yeah, it becomes work then.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, all the, yeah, that's it. And as Murphy's Law would have it, it doesn't sell. And there it, and there it sits, you know. I think some of the, and ironically, some of the, for me at least, some of the most gratifying pieces are the ones that I was thinking about Sunken Well, because I stumbled upon, like, how your phone says memories from, and there was a memory of, it was when we were installing the Sunken Well piece
during the COVID.
During April COVID. 20, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I was looking at that, and looking back, I was like, you know, that was fun, because number one, working with Steve at the Well, it's always a good time. And there was no real, at the time, no real quote unquote pressure. I mean, it was COVID. There's nothing. Diego was home from school. Mm-hmm. And it was just, we'll do the otter. Okay, well, I'll have Diego help me with it. And we spent a week together just, you know, painting it. And it was effortless. And lo and behold, everyone is happy and loves that piece or they want it. So it's kind of that given. Every now and then, like one out of every, you know, 10 or 20 paintings are effortless and are really gratifying like that.
So. Yeah. You know, I've noticed something lately. I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's definitely a shift in what people buy. You think about this, like, our grandparents aren't buying artwork anymore. And what maybe a 30-year-old likes is not what our grandparents right. like. I've seen that. Some of my, I don't know, lack of a better word, edgier work is selling a lot more than it used to. And a lot of the old traditional type things, like still lifes and landscapes, not as much.
Hmm.
And I think that's just going to continue.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that with, I guess, the clientele, and this may be a testament to, like, I'm, you know, my age or something, because I'm like, oh, my clientele's getting younger. But, you know, there's now, like, let's say early 30-somethings that'll come into the shop and be like, oh, I like your work and the thing and the graffiti, like the writing and the, oh, I like the street image. And I'm like, you guys are buying a house. Oh, you're 30. Of course. In my mind, I'm still 22. But yeah, it's a different, and I think, the younger generation of the, they do want, they feel the need to acquire artwork that they love, which is kind of really nice. You know, people are buying what they like.
You know, I've noticed this too, not to go on a tangent, but people that buy art typically come from families where there was an artist in it, or their parents bought art and vice versa. I think some people have no interest in art at all, but like, I was proud. My son bought a piece of artwork like a couple years ago. And I think, wouldn't buy mine, of course.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it was yours. Totally,
no, totally. It was definitely not mine, but it felt good that I kind of spread that enjoyment of art to him.
Actually, Bill, I wanted to ask a question. For you, when you have students that are showing their work for the first time, do they get the nerves, thing? Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that is a big issue with looking back when I first started showing work. It was like going up on stage or something. I'd be nervous. I couldn't eat. It's like, are you going to have dinner? No, I'm not eating dinner. I can't even sit. The opening's tonight.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a thing. Yeah. And fortunately, that is subsided. But I think that kind of vulnerability, the publicity, a lot of people that are getting into showing their art in the public space, that's another leap. It builds great experience when you're able to get through that night. And there is also the publicity part of, like, when you go to an opening and you have to shake hands and meet. You know, that's definitely part of it.
I notice a lot of the ones that are shown for the first time bring their whole family. Taking a lot of photos in front of it, which is great. It's exciting. We're at Sunken Well right now. Probably 5 or 6 people. That's their first painting they've ever shown. And it's exciting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I think it's always a positive thing. I don't think it's ever negative.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. That's one of the tips that Scarlett and I were like, bring all your circle. Mm-hmm. If it's your best friends, your family, like, bring them all tonight, because you're underestimating just how much people will enjoy seeing you and your work, and make it a night, make it a thing.
I love just sitting here and listening to you guys talk. This is
making your job easy.
This is very easy.
Yeah, you can just leave it.
Yeah.
Very easy.
You can throw some hard balls at the end, right?
You put two friends together and you just let them go. Bill Harris, Gabe Ponce here this morning. Art in the area. When we come back, we'll preview Art Attack that will be back again this fall. We'll give you an early preview of Art Attack with Bill Harris and Gabe Ponce. More on News Talk 1230.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Art is our focus this morning. Bill Harris and Gabe Ponce here this morning. Before we get out of here, you two, and we will do a show sometime late summer about Art Attack. And
yeah,
it gets better and better every year.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would have been our 13th year, I think.
Was last year the 10th? Like, officially
2012 the 10th. Was the first.
Right.
And then we lost two during COVID.
Yeah.
That's something.
The timing for Art Attack and COVID, every time you were thought you were going to have it, there would be a flare-up.
Right, yeah, we had that false start back in, was it 2021?
Yeah, that was 21, yeah. We lost a little bit of momentum, I felt like, because every year kept growing and growing and growing. And
yeah.
Losing 2 years, I think we dropped back a little bit. Last year was a great event. We had great weather, and I think it's always a great event. I think the city appreciates it. They just had a little reception for us at Red Dragon about a month ago, just sort of spreading the word and getting artists involved. So it's nice that the city sees it that way. And the city, meaning the Arts Commission, Fredericksburg Arts Commission.
Yeah, that was a way to kind of, the one, I think, kind of, if you were to take notes about Art Attack event through the years, the one note that we were given was, wouldn't it be great if, well, of course, artists at the, like by 3 p.m. on the day of Art Attack, they're like, you guys got to do this again in spring. we're like, once a year's enough, but what if we could pepper in other events, whether it's gallery shows or even like socials, like FCCA helped us.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, not FCCA. Arts Commission helped us put on a couple weeks ago to bring the artists back, you know, together one more time and you know, network and do all those things to make sure that the community is all on the same, arts community is all on the same page. It's really nice. And so yeah, that's kind of a nice kind of initiative by the Arts Commission to help us do that. So September 21st, I was going to say it can't come fast enough, but yeah, let it arrive when it.
Yeah, it'll take its
time. There's plenty of stuff to do beforehand.
The and again, it's any kind of art, any age, and it's just it's a great chance to get out there and. And see what it's like.
See what it's like. And it's funny, too. Actually, one, just to mention, there's a young woman, college-age woman that volunteered last year for Art Attack, just to take photos, make sure people are registered. She has an interest in art, but doesn't kind of label herself a capital A artist, so to speak. But she's been helping me with JM since then. She's like, after Art Attack that evening, she was like, is there anything else coming up? I'm like, well, if you want to volunteer every, you know, like Monday and Friday afternoon, we're at JM painting a mural. I don't know if that's your thing at all. But consistently, Megan's been on point and she's been showing up. Huh. And so to that point, I think that's one thing that makes Art Attack so nice is that it allows people that may be right on the fringes. They're not, you know, producing work all the time or have aspirations to show in galleries or anything. They just want to get involved. And I thought that was really, really great.
That's and meet other artists.
And
you know, what you'll find typically is a lot of the artists that they're showing at Art Attack for the first time the year before they went to it as the event. To get a feel for it, and I think most of them probably felt like, oh, I should be doing this. And then the next year they actually do it.
It's always fun because you usually are over by Gulrich's.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that because I always figure I'm going to go over to see Bill and there'll be like a crowd around him, and there's always crowds around people Bill, well, not Bill.
I always make the mistake of setting up next to the girl that does the spray paint, the planets. There's a crowd around her,
yeah.
not
yeah.
around me, and her crowd is normally bumping me away.
So yeah. I guess be looking for when once you get into the summer, they'll be signing up.
Yeah, they'll be signing up. We'll do a save. We did a brief kind of announcement during the Red Dragon event. We'll do a save the date to make sure people are in the loop and make sure people are kind of put that date on their calendar. Yeah, to that point, I think that's one thing where Art Attack is neat is that it's literally a spectacle in the sense that people can come and see and be seen and enjoy all the art that Fredericksburg has to offer.
We are out of time. Gabe Ponce, Bill Harris, thanks for coming. Yep. Your wife comes in tomorrow. Gabe, you sort of the warm-up for her.
I'm the opening act.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, you guys. I'll see you soon.
The hosting guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.